Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Now, Lord, we ask you and we trust you to teach your word tonight through your body and to your body by your spirit and word in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 4, we're starting in verse 15. This is going to go fast, so listen fast. Get your pen and paper out and get ready, because this word is going to get in you. This is the divinely inspired word of God. But before we start, I want to say this. There are three things that a Christian I'm going to repeat as I have before. The trinity of essentials for the wise virgin believer: personal fellowship in the word, number one; personal prayer time with the Lord, a life of prayer beginning every morning in the prayer closet; and then also fellowship with the saints. Amen. And let me say this, because we complicate fellowship much. I was thinking over the weekend at the Cross Conference how, you know, if there's a lot of people that are in contact with us over technology. In fact, somebody was there, a dear sister that has been following the ministry through the website for 11 years, but didn't even know her. And we get that all the time. And many times we have people say they don't have anybody. Please pray for them to have fellowship. Many times I pass those prayers to you. You guys, and they need fellowship. Well, let me share something of an idea of how easy it is to have fellowship. Find just one other believer and say, hey, brother. If you're a brother, find a brother. If you're a sister, find a sister. Hey, brother, I tell you what, let's get together for coffee in the morning. Schedule it just for a few minutes. Bring whatever prayer request you have, and we're going to pray for you. Number two, bring a chapter of the Bible, and then I'll bring one, and we'll read them together. Nobody has to come up with the script, because that's what the scriptures are. What's the root word of scripture? Script. God already gave us a script. We got people that have developed ministries with their fancy little commentaries and things because they feel like they're being paid a salary, so they have to kind of perform and earn it, right? That's kind of natural to men. It's an ungodly arrangement. That's never what God ordained for His body. His body is about glorifying Him in humility and according to His word.
You can even do that on the phone.
Yeah, if you can't find somebody in person, it's good to have somebody, at least one person in person. And if you already go to some fellowship that has a lot of people, that's only one twice a week. Why not get with a brother, have coffee, breakfast with them once a week? And, you know, dear sisters also, you girls are better at that than us. But anyway, just a little suggestion to help you. All right, I'm going to start reading and then we'll pick up. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. That's a memory phrase right there. When you memorize a verse, you're not, some people say, well, you got to memorize the whole verse. Well, that's good. But then again, if you're going to follow that logic, then you better memorize the whole chapter and the whole Bible. I mean, grab the nugget. It might be the whole verse in some cases. It might be just a phrase. We are to speak the truth. That's the first part of the verse. Now, a lot of people will misuse this verse. Have you noticed? Well, brother, you got to speak the truth in love. But they don't know in their immaturity, and they don't understand that sometimes love is an open rebuke, which is better than secret love. In other words, it's love, and when it's rightly applied by the Spirit through the cross life. By the way, none of this works, no instruction in the word outside of the cross life. That's the power generator of the Christian life. You denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following Christ. That's His prescription, and the only way that He can be followed is His way. If we're not doing it His way, today's our day to count the cost, lay down our lives, and say, Lord, I'm all yours. Hallelujah. And you're all mine, and Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trash heap the religious notions I've had, and I'm going to go with the word. Now, clean me out, Jesus, by the washing of water, by your word. The same book teaches, Ephesians, the next chapter, 5, 25 through 27. So we're to speak the truth in love, and that's directly associated here with growing up into Christ, in the full measure of Christ, which true servant elders, no such thing as leadership in the body of Christ other than servant leadership. That's what Jesus taught. Right before here, we read in our last study on Ephesians 4 about the fivefold dimension, if you will, dimensions of eldership. And a lot of people, we got a lot of this stuff on the website about title touters and stuff. They want to tout these as titles. They're not titles, they're functions to serve in. You take that gift and you serve God for the glory of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter Peter 4, 10, 11, not for your own glory. And if you're using a title such as prophet or apostle, you know, I would say you're not one, pretty definitively. What you are is a wolf that's trying to bring attention to yourself. If you are a prophet and apostle, we're not denying at all that there are. Otherwise, about 4 or 5 decades after Christ left the earth, we wouldn't be reading about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that are in the body of Christ. But they aren't those who run around calling themselves that. That violates Jesus' teaching. Don't call no man father. Don't be called rabbi. You know, you could list a lot of things. All of these titles, that's not what they're there for. And men that want to exalt themselves over others, Nicolaitans, conquer the laity, because they're not crucified vessels, are using bishop, prophet. You've got women running around saying, and then you have the argument, I'll throw this in there, it won't cost you anything extra, kidding. The people that don't understand, and most of them are well-meaning in the body, and we have this discussion all the time recently and throughout the years. Oh, wait a minute, if they prophesy, that makes them a prophet. No, it doesn't. This gift of prophecy is one of the 9 gifts of what? Of who? The Holy Spirit. We got Father, Son, and Holy. The fivefold ministry is the extension of Jesus's ministry right here in Ephesians 4, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, right? Verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's 2 different sets of gifts, and there are several sets of gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So if somebody prophesies, even if they're accurate, by the way, and if whether they're a prophet or just somebody operating in the gift of the Spirit called prophecy, that does not make them true. Test the spirits, the scripture says, see whether they're of God. Deuteronomy 13 tells us that does not make them a true disciple or leader of Christ, because he said, if someone prophesies among you, if a prophet, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 10, and yet he turns around, 13, 1 through 10, and then he turns around and leads you away from Christ, from the Lord, through false doctrine, that is, then he's to be stoned. So we got to be careful, saints, that just because someone has an accurate prophecy does not make them true to God. Remember, we prophesied in your name. They're going to say on Judgment Day, who do you think he's talking about? I don't know. Couldn't be anybody today. Of course it is. It applies to today more than it ever has. Many who do have spiritual gifts that operate and actually operate correctly or somehow accurately are going to say, Lord, before they're cast into hell, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We even cast out devils and all this stuff. Sherry and I are familiar with a man who I actually got saved under. And the man, I'm not going to name a name. It was many, many years ago. The man is a false prophet. We didn't know that at the time. And the word of God is still effectual. And he was preaching that. So we're to speak the truth in love, saints. And that means as God directs. And we can take note scripturally and in our minds know this, like Berean believers who weigh everything against the word of God, that Jesus was seen, the unchanging Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was seen in the Gospels rebuking who? Which 2 classes? It starts with an R.
The religious and the rich.
The rich and the religious. That's who he rebuked the most. What did he do with people that were caught in adultery in the middle of it, just thrown at his feet? He forgave them freely. He came to save. But his greatest enemies, as can be seen all throughout the Gospels, in particular Matthew 23, were the religious leaders who were corrupting the image and the will of the Father and putting his name on it. They were taking the name of the Lord in vain by misrepresenting him. So let's speak the truth in love. I love Proverbs 12, 17, another memory verse. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. You know, a lot of people have been misled by this. You can help me, Brother David, on this one. Franciscan monk, anything coming out of the Catholic Church is Antichrist. And preach the gospel, even if it's without words. How's that go?
Yeah,
and they preach the gospel, and if need be, use words.
Absolutely necessary.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the devil's counterfeit. That's not scripture. Somebody's got to go preach the gospel.
What he's saying is shut up your witness.
Yeah, shut up your witness. And
shut up your witness.
Jesus, what do you think Jesus meant, Brother David, when he said, go ye to all the world, preach, proclaim, declare the gospel? Did that include using your mouth to speak God's word? Of course it did. So
everything, whatever it takes.
And that's not denying that your life has to coincide and have, what is the word, congruency. But the gospel has to be preached. And the body of Christ is the only entity in the earth that's going to let the light of the truth of Christ shine through their witness. And that very much includes speaking the word. And we're to grow up into him, right? The second part of verse 15. In all things, which is the head, even Christ, he's the only head of the body, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice the edifying of itself. I love that. And that goes with verse 12. If you'll back up a little bit, notice the servant elders of the Lord are given what? For the perfecting or the equipping, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. A lot of folks want their congregations to be immature and biblically illiterate because those kind of people are easy to continue to deceive and manipulate. You know, we should, as servant leaders, we should desire that people take over our place. They get so mature right. that we're not needed anymore. We can move off into some other thing God has for us to go serve in. And so replace yourself.
Didn't the Lord Jesus do that?
Yeah, exactly. With the 12. That's good.
Small, baby. Model, assist, watch, and leave.
Yes, that's good.
However long that takes.
Yeah, so for the perfecting of if somebody is maturing the saints, then they are false. They're not maturing the saints, then they're false. For the work of the ministry, notice, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You notice that? And again, in verse 16, at the end, the body, as Christ the head is lifted up, see that? End of verse 15. Then that's when there's health from heaven. That's when there's the full nourishment of the body, from which the whole body, fit every member, fitly joined together and contacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Beloved, are you edifying the body of Christ? A lot of people want to correct the body of Christ, but they're not even edifying. That's really a red flag to me. When you got somebody that wants to correct you, has never said, hey, brother, how are you doing? They've never even introduced themselves. They don't care about you. They're just looking for something to nitpick. Demonic Pharisee. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, that means from now forward, walk not as other Gentiles, those without God, walk in the vanity of their mind, the sinful thinking of their mind, bad thinking brought about by a bad heart.
Stinking thinking.
Yes, stinking thinking. Unbiblical thinking. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated. Don't walk this way anymore. You're born again. Being alienated from the life of God. They're separated through sin. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be, see, the body of Christ is separate in the way we live. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. That doesn't mean always physically. If you leave the world, Paul says, then, you know, you can't preach to anybody. You can't be a witness. You can't help win them. You know, this monastery monk thing is of the devil. It was never of God. We're to go out into all the world and preach the gospel and let the light of Christ shine, right? But the way we live is different. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I love it. The truth is in who? Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, he said, John 14:6. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation or way of life, the old man. So you might want to bracket put off. What are you to put off? The old man, right? You're no longer, all things have become new and all things are of God now. Mm-hmm. Now that you're regenerated. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If there hasn't been an absolute change in your life from day to night, or from night to day, I should say, then you're not born again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're born again, you know it. Not 99.9, but 100%, you know it. So put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Romans 6 would have put off that old man through the crucified life. Again, none of this is going to work except you're empowered by the resurrection grace of Jesus through the cross life. We got a couple of books in the ministry that were written with numerous, so many scriptures on that topic of denying yourself, walking in the grace, the resurrection grace of Jesus. That's I Die Daily and Raised Up. You can find them at safeguardyoursoul.com. Verse 23, David, you want to pick up there, brother?
And he renewed and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
All right, so we're to put off the old man and put on the new man.
It requires action on our part.
Action on your part. Deliberate obedience to the Lord to put off the old man and put on the new man. Live out the Christian life. Keep going, brother. Verse 25.
Yeah. This also put on, put off is re-spoken, re-taught in Colossians and the things that Paul taught in every church everywhere. Okay, 25. Wherefore, putting away a lying speak, every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
You know, that would seem to, you may want to explore this deeper. There is righteous anger. Jesus got angry, the scripture says. He was angered. I believe it's Mark 3:1 at the Pharisees. I believe he did a healing there, and he looked upon them with great anger, upon the religious. But in our anger, we're not to sin. There's a lot of scripture on anger and on how to handle it. You know, the scripture says, anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. And he that is of great understanding is slow to anger. And remember, James 1:20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is temperance. The New Version says self-control, which is absolutely ungodly. You don't control yourself. You surrender yourself to Christ, and his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, tempers you. Temper. Look up. That's a good study to do. Temper. Temperance is one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the nine dimensions of love, the fruit of the Spirit, not self-control. When you give your life over to Christ in the daily cross, he's in control, not you. That's a contradiction, as usual, in the perverted Bibles that Satan has put out into the Christian world through the corrupt Antichrist Vatican. Get a real Bible, saints, a King James Bible. It's God's word preserved in our language. So be angry and sin not. Be careful not to sin in your anger. Anybody else other than me ever sin in your anger?
Yeah.
And be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ask for forgiveness for anything you said or did wrong before the sun goes down on your wrath. Don't go to sleep without relinquishing and getting clear. That takes humility, takes admitting you were wrong, etc. All right, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And through sin is where we give place to the devil. That's how we give place to the devil. We give him legal right in our lives. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you submit afresh, confessing any sin, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then you can tell the devil to get out of your life, rebuke him by the name and blood of Jesus. Then he has to flee from you. That's legal ground. He loses. Sin gives place to Satan. So don't let any sin dwell in your life. Don't let the sun go down upon any wrath or any sin in your life that's ungodly. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Again, each one of these verses can be a lot of time spent on each. We see here, one of the things here in verse 28 is we are to work so that we have to give. See that? God wants us to put him first in everything. No, I'm not teaching a hardline coercive tithe. But don't you think Jesus should be first in everything? Our time, our treasure, and our talents. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I believe that means putting him first in everything. And the Bible talks about first fruits. What is the promise of first fruits? Anybody know that verse? It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And by the way, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. All of them, every one of them, including Malachi 3, where he says he'll open the windows of heaven. Like it or not, it is there. There's a lot of people that hate tithing, the idea of it. Well, we should hate that some people demand that people tithe to them. I agree. That's ridiculous. But if you're going to organize your life to put God first, who gets the first moments of your life? Who gets the first portion of your income? It should be God, if you ask me. Anyway, again, that's not a coercive, strong-arm thing. I'm just talking to try to help people. Notice, honor the Lord, Proverbs 3:9-10, with thy substance. A lot of people want to say, well, tithing wasn't with money back then. Well, they used crops and seeds and everything else because that's what they bartered with. And so people use this as an excuse not to give up their God, which is really money. When you put God first in your finances, your heart follows, right? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If all your money goes to self, guess who, where your heart is? It's all on self, the idol of self. And a greedy, covetous man will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor him. And how do you do that? With the first fruit of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The word of God, you know, teaches reciprocity. 2 Corinthians 9. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Verse 7 and 8, or verse 6 through 8 through 10. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Not only now, perhaps in a measure, but also in eternity where Jesus said to lay up treasure. He commanded us to do that. He told us where to lay it up, where not to lay it up. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. So if you want your barns filled, filled with plenty, and your presses to burst out with new ones. You know, in Haggai chapter 1 and 2, that's an interesting passage. They were putting all their money into their own homes, their own lives. And he said, you got holes in your bags, and here's why. Because you're not building my house. Now, a lot of deceivers today, to rightly divide, you got to say this. Act like their church business they're building is the house of God. No. The house of God is the people of God. And the early church demonstrated by sharing among each other so that none of the saints had any need. When you give to these church, these apostate church houses, your money's going to pay for an electric bill. No such building or electric bill in the early church. Not a penny was ever collected to build a building. The Bible says you are the house of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Let me read that to you. As a good Berean believer, I ask you to try everything that's said that you're listening to right here against the Word of God. Search the Scriptures and test everything. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You are. I will build my church. He's building his kingdom in the hearts of his people. We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Please meditate on that. We are the church, the called out ones. And there's a stat, which I don't have handy, but the American apostate church spends like tens of billions of dollars on buildings, which have become an idol in the edifices. And they're going to get, everyone who contributes is going to give account to the living God, because there are Christians that have needs. There are ministries that need support, that are truly preaching and endeavoring to preach the whole counsel of God's word. So you work to do what? One of the reasons why you work, if you're praying, if you're listening to this and you're praying, God, open, I want to start a new business. You have a vision to have a new business or to get this other job. Have you settled it in your heart of everything you get? The first portion's going to the Lord. I wonder, I'm just going to say it this way, if God won't really open that door and test you to see if you're going to honor and worship and give him thanks by saying, Lord, I made $1,000 this week. I'm giving you such and such an amount to your work and the people around me that have needs. And again, please don't give to church buildings. Help the believers around you. Pray and God will put somebody on your heart. Our ministry through the years has been had the opportunity based on what amount, whatever people give to it, to fill up single mothers, you know, vehicles, to help people in various ways. You know, we're not going to build a building, not going to make an idol out of a ministry. It's got to go to the body of Christ. The only reason why we got a name is because somebody's got to, you have to have a website. Now here's a verse 29. We've got just about five more verses to go to finish this chapter. That's very interesting. In fact, Brother David at the cross conference, our Brother Adam brought this out. Notice verse 29. Somebody read verse 29. Ephesians 4, ladies. Who wants to read that?
Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Amen. Building up. Edification means building up. So our tongues are to be a weapon for God to build up other believers. That's not talking about flattery, but edifying them in Christ. And man, that's awesome, because a tongue can tear down, can't it?
We should take those things that the world uses to tear down and change.
Well, God gave us the tongue to build up. And when we're controlled by the Holy Ghost, we're led by the Spirit through the daily cross and raised up life, our tongue is going to be used to edify people. And that's what he's saying here. Let no corrupt communication, none, proceed out of your mouth. That should be an examination point right there. Is there corrupt communication, unwholesomeness, proceeding out of our mouth? Notice in chapter 5, verse 3, jump ahead with me for a second. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetous, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. We're not even to have that in our mouth, are we? Those things. What things? Uncleanness, covetousness. Don't even let them be named among you. There's certain things that ought to be off limit. Well, you know, I find myself in conversation by the grace of God only, but I'll say it's a bad thing, but I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not going to explain and glorify the devil. Notice verse 12 of chapter 5. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There you go. There's certain things that ought to be off limits to the born-again believer who's putting on Christ and putting off the old man. Again, memory verse here. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So you know that God wants wants to use your tongue through a purified heart to minister to others. All right, let's look at something in Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has a lot on the tongue, doesn't it? Over the weekend at the Cross Conference, we talked about some verses, and here's some more. I meant to talk about them then, but hey, catch up night. All right, notice chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 19 through 21. And if she can look on with you, because she didn't have the Old Testament in this. Chapter 19. All right, look at this. Chapter 10, verse 19 through 21. Would somebody like to read some of that? Somebody want to read that?
In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth.
Keep going, one more.
The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom.
Amen. What a mouth. This is Solomon, David's son, one of the wisest or the wisest man ever said to live. Mere man, that is. Notice in verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth or there's no lack of sin. Anybody else ever have run at the mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And God checked you. If you're in Christ, he's going to chasten you. We've all had that. So in the multitude of words, there is going to lack no amount of sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. And you're not alone in this. You can't overcome the flesh and the sinful dictates of it without the crucified life and the domination of the Holy Ghost, what some call the killing power of the Holy Ghost. Remember Romans 8, 13 and 14. This is the cross. It says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, they the Son to God. So, and remember David's prayer, Psalm 141:3, I believe it is, or 5. Lord, put a watch, set a watch before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. I have had to pray the Spirit of God after I memorized that truth and know the importance of it from my own transgression with my tongue. That just rolls off my lips every morning. Lord, put a watch. Help me to edify. Help me to build up. Speak your truth, Lord, and please put a watch before this mouth. And I can tell you that after an occasion comes to say something I shouldn't say, little time, a few seconds will go by and I go, ooh, God save me from that, because I felt something inside that wasn't right and I was going to say it, you know, thank God. So that God hears that prayer. He gave it in his word. He wants it to be prayed. That's what David prayed. All right, verse 20, the tongue of the just, I love this, is as choice silver. Very selective. Let our words be selective. Isaiah 50, verse 4 speaks of Christ prophetically, and it says he would have the tongue of the learned. Lord, give us the tongue of the learned. Tongue of the learned. Amen. Taught of God. Hallelujah. Verse 20, Proverbs 10, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. Very selective. You ever notice in a crowd when certain people talk because they're measured and they speak, they refrain themselves from just blabbing, that choice silver comes out and you're like, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. Beloved, who are you feeding? Who did you call today, send an email to, or get together with and feed the word of God? Well, brother, I don't even know if I'm as mature as them. So what? Just read a few scriptures together. You're feeding on the word, both of you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. But fools die for want of wisdom. Look at chapter 17 of Proverbs. This is the last two verses. A lot of people, and I love this, will read a proverb a day. There's 31 of them, one for each day of the month. And you learn a lot concerning the tongue and many, many, many other things. I believe almost everything in life that can happen is found in Proverbs alone. Verse 27, Proverbs 17, 27, 28. He that hath knowledge, a man that's full of the knowledge of God, spareth his words. Another note you may want to take is Ecclesiastes 5, 2 says, let thy words be few. Memory verse. Let thy words be few. Verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. He's sparingly, he's selective in what he says and doesn't say. And a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. I like that. That's a good thing to pray. Lord, make me of a gracious, excellent spirit. You got divine authority to pray that. There it is, that term, excellent spirit. Are you of an excellent spirit? One of the things we know is that God wants to give us an excellent spirit. I believe it's Daniel says something like that. He was a man of an excellent spirit. That should be a great thing to desire as a believer, don't you think? A gracious spirit. They marvel at the gracious words Jesus spoke, we read in the Gospels. All right, verse 27, even a fool, when he hold, this is incredible. This again, these are two memory verses. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, he doesn't speak, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Remember that saying growing up, old school, walk quietly and carry a big stick. You know, that kind of plays in here. Again, that's not scripture, but people that were quiet will
respected. You didn't know what they were hiding. They might be tough.
We could say, walk quietly and carry a big sword.
Yeah, that's even better. I love it. Walk quietly, carry the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
Hebrews 4:12. All right, one more time here in 16th chapter of Proverbs 23 and 24. Here we go. All right, 23 and 24. Who wants to read that? Proverbs 16, 23 and 24.
The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Present words, pleasant words, are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones.
Amen. The heart of the wise. Again, memory passage. Proverbs 16, 23 and 24. I encourage you, if you're listening, to get a index card Bible memory system underway immediately. By the way, use the King James Bible. It is the preserved word of God, and it is the easiest to understand. The prose and the height of the English language is on full display. The heart of the wise does what? Teaches his mouth. Wow. That's what we're talking about here. You know, if you want to monitor where your heart is, reflect on what you're saying. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. There'd been a lot of days in my Christian life where it was like, man, I got to cry out to God for a purified heart. And I got to cry out because there's some things coming out of my mouth that are not dead on. And we should desire perfection in that regard. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Could anything say it better than God? Could anyone? Or any book other than God's word. I mean, it's self-evident. Pleasant words, are you speaking pleasant words, are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, it edifies, it brings life. What does Colossians 4:6 say? Anybody got that one memorized? Colossians 4:6 should be a memory verse that rolls right off the lips of every saint. Amen. Love this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You eat your food bland? Why should your words be bland? That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Not only what you say, but how you say it. Are you speaking the truth in God's love? The only way that's going to be possible is through the cross life, saying, crying out, Lord, you must increase, I must decrease. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead. My life is hid with Christ in God. Pray and declare, confess the word of God over your life. When you're crucified with Christ, he's going to put some sweetness in your spirit. And when your words, hopefully his words, roll off your lips, they're going to be more well received because they're not just a rusty sword. Maybe I'm the only one in my younger years, and sometimes even now, you know, I have to confess my sin and apologize for being a rusty sword, even using the truth. If we're dominated by the Holy Ghost through the crucified life, he is going to guide the use of the sword of the Word of God, not us. Again, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It must be crucified. James 1:20. Let your words be always, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. You know, some people can say something that is so strong and hard, but by the grace of God and the love of Jesus, it's said in such a way as to convey that God really cares. He wants to restore you, not just to rebuke you and throw you away. That's not God's way. He's not willing that any should perish. His will is to restore if someone's out of the way. All right, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the ways you do that is with your words in this context, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Not until, unto. Big difference. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We got an audio on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. 8 things that grieve the Holy Spirit. They're all right here in this passage. One of them is in verse 29, speaking corrupt communications that aren't edifying, but they're tearing down. Bitterness, verse 31, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. It's about 6. Oh, and malice. Now, here's the last verse in this chapter as we finish. Somebody want to read this? This is such an important verse right here. In light of how God has forgiven us on the merit of Christ, not on our own merit. If we were to stand before God without Christ, what would we have as far as righteousness?
Nothing.
Yeah, we would. We'd have something, but it wouldn't be anything good. Yeah, I got you. Isaiah 64:6, what? As filthy rags. That is an ugly picture.
Yeah, dumb.
In the Hebrew, that's of a menstrual cloth that's been used. So, let's move on.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, I guess maybe that was out of bounds too, but that is the picture conveyed in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
And God wanted to get that part, that truth over to us. Notice, be ye kind in the body of Christ, one to another. It didn't say one for another. Two, that's conveyance. It's not just having the kindness in your heart, but demonstrating and living it out. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, as opposed to what kind of hearted? Hard-hearted. And, you know, it's a blessing. We have scripture in one of the places we find it about God taking away the stony hearts, a hard heart, and giving us a heart of flesh is Ezekiel 36, 24 through 26. That is a prophetic word about the born-again life, the regenerated life, where God takes away the stony places of our hearts, which is caused by sin, Brother David, you know, as you pointed out recently out of Hebrews 3.
Long unconfessed sin. It takes time.
Yeah, well, you know, yes. Hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, right?
Yes, and it is sin. You got conviction, and you got there immediately what to do. And if you don't repent, turn, then confess.
Gets hard.
The process of hardening continues,
yeah.
And then it gets harder again and harder again.
That's good.
So we create the distance. God is calling even in those times for you to repent. But we create the hardness by our actions of not turning back to the Lord in confession.
Read that verse, brother, if you will.
Ezekiel
4:32. Of Ephesians as we close.
And be ye kind one to another and tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen. In the measure that we show mercy and forgive, God is going to show it back to us. What kind of boomerang do we want coming back upon us? You know, the Bible says in James 2:13, he shall have judgment without mercy, undiluted judgment that has shown no mercy. Are we merciful or merciless? Jesus taught that we set the rule, the measure of rule for the judgment or the mercy that's coming back on us. Judge not, remember? Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5. And let's read that real quick as we close here. Brother David's got something too.
Go ahead.
All right. He said, judge not that you be not judged. Don't wrongly judge. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. That's incentive, isn't it?
It is.
You know, in my early Christian walk, I was very judgmental in some ways, had some things right, was growing, so was judgmental. And, you know, the Lord broke me along the way years ago and continues to do so. And it's a blessing to have the boomerang of mercy. You know, when somebody comes to you and says, man, I need to confess a sin. Praise God, brother. God's bigger than any sin you can confess right now. If you want to confess it, you feel like God wants you to say it specific, go right ahead. I get calls from guys and been praying with the same guys and new guys for years. Decades, all the time, from all over the country. And, you know, just jump in there with the mercy of God as it's been shown you. Man, when we look in the mirror, it's exciting that God would use you to restore somebody. Remember, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, you to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And how do you do that? When somebody's overtaken in a fault, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, are you spiritually mature? Restore such a one. The spiritually mature, restore such a one. They restore people. They don't condemn them and run them off. What sin is greater than the blood of Christ? I'm sorry. What idol are we making out of sin when we put it above the blood of the cross of Christ? Think about it. Mm-hmm. Weigh it out in light of Scripture. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, those that are mature, restore, don't condemn, such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. What are you without Jesus? Filthy rags. There's nothing good in you except Christ, Romans 7:18. All men in their very best state are altogether vanity, Psalm 39, 4 and 5. So consider yourself, stay in the mirror of the word, lest thou also be tempted. You're not above that same sin. So let's see, and that's how you bear others' burdens and help people be restored, brought back to rightful relationship with God through Christ that he designed them to have in that abiding relationship. So Jesus says here, verse 3 of Matthew 7, and why beholdest the mote, thou the mote in thy brother's eye? Why do you focus on the sin of your brother and considerest not the beam telephone pole? Did y'all have those growing up? I grew up in New Orleans, man. They had those all over the place. Okay, in our neighborhood. So it's kind of second nature, but maybe some people didn't. Okay. Consider not the beam. Why beholdest thou the mote, the little splinter that is in thy brother's eye? But you don't even consider the fact that you got a beam, a big old log in your own eye. Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, the big old log, the tree out of thine eye, and behold a beam, excuse me, the splinter, and behold a tree is in your own eye. Thou hypocrite. What does he call people that are doing this? Hypocrites. First, cast out the beam. Get the log out of your own eye. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote in a restorative, meek form and approach out of thy brother's eyes. God wants to use us to help others be delivered, but we've got to get the logs out of our own eyes. God does not use everyone the same because he can't. If you're not going and approaching it as a compassionate restoration mission from God that he can use you in out of a spirit of meekness, God's not going to use you. He's calling you first to correct yourself. All right. Feel free to avail yourself to the resources on safeguardyoursoul.com. Thank you for listening and God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.